This chapter in Luke, brethren and sisters, is about the forgiveness of sins. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, we read in verse 32. In verse 23 we read, whether it's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. Well, of course, brothers and sisters, it's ever so much easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, because nobody's going to know whether it's true or not. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. The stamp of authority for the words of our Lord were in the signs that he performed. No wonder then, we read in verse 26, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Well, no wonder it was strange. Here is a man, sick of the palsy, able to do virtually nothing for himself, suddenly gets up, rolls up his bed, puts it under his arm, and walks home. That's a strange thing, isn't it? But our attention is drawn to the reality of sin and the obnoxiousness of sin in the sight of our Heavenly Father by the story of the miracle which begins in verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Leprosy, brethren and sisters, is something from which we are naturally, or by which we are naturally repelled. It is such an awful complaint that if we see someone suffering from it, our natural reaction is to withdraw. It is exactly like that with our Heavenly Father in relation to sin, except that the word naturally is out of place. Scriptural leprosy is a very much wider complaint than that we think of when we use the word today. It included it, but it also included things like erysipelas and psoriasis, any complaint of the skin. And in fact, brethren and sisters, leprosy, of course, is not just restricted to human life. Even houses could suffer from leprosy, we read in Leviticus chapter 14. So could a garment. You get that to those verses that talk about the warp and the woof in a garment. That could have leprosy as well. I imagine it's some form of mildew. And in a house it would either be dry rot or wet rot or something of that sort that would attack the fabric of the house. Think of Miriam too. Yeah, well, let's look at Miriam. Numbers chapter 12. Now, as I said yesterday, I'm no linguist, but those who know tell me something quite significant. That opening verse, it says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. And the word spake, I understand, is feminine. So it's Miriam who does the speaking, and that's why she's mentioned first. And what happens to her? Well, because when we read in verse 7, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all his house, Miriam is stricken with leprosy as white as snow. Now, that form of leprosy, you see, is different from the horrible disease that we think of. It might have been a form of psoriasis, because, you know, the skin goes all white and flaky, and I understand, irritates like mad. But she's healed at the intercession of Moses. There is Moses at the mediator. So, always in Scripture, because of the natural abhorrence that we have for this disease, it is a singular type of sin, and the fact that sin is abhorrent to God. See, it's the one disease for which specific instructions are given under the law about how it should be treated. Shut the man away for 7 days, and then let the priest look at him. The sufferer from this disease. And there are details, quite remarkable details, about the whole situation. And the cleansing under the law, as recorded in Leviticus chapter 14, of course, involved a sin offering. So whenever we read about this word, this disease, leprosy, and you think, fancy an exhorting brother talking about that on a Sunday morning. There must be something wrong with it, choosing such a subject as that. But, brethren and sisters, I do it for a very purposeful reason. Because we're all such respectable people, we don't talk about our sins as much as we ought to one another. Confess your faults one to another. Does us a power of good, you know. It's not introspection. That's when you don't talk about your sins to your brethren and sisters. That's introspection. When we share with one another our faults. But sometimes we don't have to share our faults with someone who's very close to us, because they are much more aware of our faults than we are ourselves. Like our husbands and wives. My wife knows all my sins very well. And we've known each other for 50 years, so I suppose it's not all that surprising, is it? But sharing our faults with one another, talking about them quite openly. They say it's very good for the soul. Confession is very good for the soul. And it is. It's a great source of strength. Because it's a strange thing, brethren and sisters. We thought, well, no, I couldn't talk to Sister So-and-so about that, or I don't think Brother So-and-so would understand. And in fact, as soon as we do so, we discover that they're feeling just the same about us. That they haven't spoken to us about the things that are besetting them, because they thought too that perhaps we wouldn't understand. But we're all sinners. Every one of us. Now, I use this example every time, and I learned it from Brother Dennis Gillick when I was 40 years younger than I am now. He used to say, if he said to an audience of brethren and sisters, we're all sinners, we'd all sit there and nod and say, yes, we are. But he said, if I got hold of you by your coat and took you up into a corner of the meeting room and said, you are a sinner, then that particular brother might well take offence. But it is nonetheless true. We are sinners as individuals. But the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, is exactly that. He has died to take away our sins. So we are no longer sinners in the rejected sense. We are saints in Christ who sin sometimes. We don't stir sin. We don't go out of our way to do that which is wrong. We do that which is wrong, as it were, by mistake. We don't intend to do it, but we do. We say things we shouldn't. Well, at least that's my most common besetting sin. I say things I shouldn't. I haven't got the courage to do things I shouldn't. That's our main fault, isn't it, brethren and sisters, I think? Saying things we shouldn't, and leaving undone things that we ought to have done. Oh, I'll do that tomorrow. Somebody said, I never went to the trouble to find out who it was, and we may not even know that procrastination is the thief of time. It's true, isn't it? Oh, I'll do that tomorrow. As if tomorrow is guaranteed. Tomorrow. seen. I mean, we might be killed on the way home in the car. I mean, perhaps somebody's going to be killed today in the car, aren't they? So those are the things that beset me, brothers and sisters, saying the wrong thing, usually at the wrong time as well, that just compounds the situation, and putting off something until tomorrow, which should have been done today. But isn't this wonderful? In this miracle here, the very thing which no one would do, Jesus did for this poor leper. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And exactly those words are for us too, aren't they? We are suffering from the leprosy of sin. And we say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what did Jesus do to this man? When everyone else was backing away from him and going away and saying, keep that man away from me, what did the Lord do? He touched him. You see, Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Come with me to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, brothers and sisters, would you please? There are some remarkable things. Well, it's one of the most lovely chapters of Scripture, isn't it? He was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. And I understand that that's exactly the sort of phrase which would be used to describe those people who were repelled and revolted by the sight of a leper. They turned away their faces. They didn't want to see it. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken. That word for stricken occurs 50 times in Leviticus chapter 13. It's precisely the word to describe a man who is stricken with leprosy. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 8, exactly the same word. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Or as the margin said, the stroke was upon him. Now let's just think about that for a moment, two brothers and sisters. It is as if the Lord willingly and out of his love for stricken mankind, allowed himself to be treated like a leper by his contemporaries. He was derided by the Pharisees, and particularly the Sadducees, wasn't he? They treated him as dirt. They have nothing to do with it. And you see, the counsels of darkness determined his death and the manner of his death. And they thought thereby to have done with him forever. Little did they know that their bringing about of his death would be the sign of the birth, the new birth, the resurrection of the Lord. and the growth of the community of saints, which would grow and grow and grow, so much so that here we are in Torquay 2,000 years later, talking about exactly the things we are talking about. They didn't understand. Look at verse 5 of Isaiah 53. He was wounded. The margin says, tormented for our transgressions. You know, brothers and sisters, unless a man know the Lord Jesus Christ, and forgive me using this expression, but it's the only one I can think of that adequately describes what it is that I want to say. Unless the person known the Lord Jesus Christ would have blown his top time and time again, wouldn't he? Wouldn't we? At the provocation and the torment which was so unjustly thrown at him day after day after day after day. He was tormented for our not for his, no, for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And we think, yes, we think of course of the physical bruising which he received. And you see, that all happened at the end of his ministry. The Lord was, as it were, protected from this physical maltreatment throughout his ministry. There are many times when it could have happened, but the Lord went into the crowd and was lost amongst them. There was a time, though, when he had to suffer this bruising, so that the words of Psalm 22 might find their reality in his life. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He received the chastisement, not us. And with his stripes we are healed. And again, that word healed is precisely the word used to describe someone who has been healed from this terrible illness of leprosy. It's just that word. Yes, the Lord Jesus underwent all these things. He was treated like a leper, but not for himself. He did these things, brethren and sisters, for us. Now all this really should stir our hearts, brethren and sisters. Because if the Lord did that for us, what can we do for him? Now there is no sense in here of trying to pay back that which he has done for us, because that's impossible. But surely, brethren and sisters, out of a sense of deep and abiding gratitude, every one of us will do anything we possibly can to enhance the glory of his name, won't we? There will not be one opportunity that is presented to us that we will let slip by. Surely not. How could we? How could we let the opportunity slip by to speak of the wonderful grace that has been shown to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the fact that we have forgiveness of sins in him. If we confess our sins, here is the promise, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see, God is faithful because he's promised that he will. And he is just, not because of us, but because of the Lord became, as it were, a leper, so that this might be true. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse. Ah, you see, the word is there again. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go show thyself to the priest. Cleansing. So I say again, brothers and sisters, the Lord has done so much for us. Was it for me, thy flesh was wounded sore? We shall, by kind permission of our brother president, sing that in a moment. Now this morning we've met together to remember that. And I've tried to bring these things before our hearts and minds before we partake of the bread and the wine. that the thoughts in our hearts might be acceptable in our Father's sight, that each one of us might have proper feelings of contrition for our sins, that we might come to this table seeking forgiveness and looking for strength as we partake of the bread and drink of the wine.